CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. And I turn to Gregory for strategic view, not the partisan bickering that is commonplace in democracies, not even a focus on the tragedy in Kabul and the thousands of people left behind who were promised. All of that will spill out over these months. Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, before the House and now before the Senate, making it very clear that there was no plan to evacuate, to get free people who are at risk with the savagery of the Taliban. Well, there is a larger story, however, which is the region, the neighbors, Iran, Pakistan, Balochistan as part of Pakistan, and Tajikistan and Turkmenistan. Gregory, al-Qaeda never really left, and it's good to see that Washington is suddenly acknowledging, this is from U.S. intelligence agencies, the Wall Street Journal in these hours, are seeing early signs that al-Qaeda militants have begun to return to Afghanistan. All right, that's old news. Big news right now is the U.S. has left and not likely to go back in my lifetime. What does this mean for the whole region, Russia, China, Pakistan, Iran, that al-Qaeda and the other bad actors haven't been solved?
Well, of course, the great game, as we've discussed in the past, has resumed in this area. We see Russia moving very, very rapidly to consolidate its position and to do so having learned major lessons from its experience in Afghanistan and having learned major lessons in its dealing with the formerly captive Khanates of Central Asia, particularly the five great Khanates there, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyz Republic, and Uzbekistan. So they will deal with them much more gently and in a sophisticated fashion, but they will be brought back into the orbit of Moscow to the great detriment of the United States and ultimately to the detriment of those Central Asian states themselves who wanted more freedom of choice in their trade with the outside world. But now they are geographically constrained to a degree. Now, India may offer them a lifeline of a land bridge over from Uzbekistan via Afghanistan to India or even one through Pakistan, as President Trump was hoping to achieve. But the reality is Russia is now dominant and China is fighting for its ability to exert influence and gain some trading buffer in that area. Certainly it looks to get a little more security in its energy supplies coming out of the Caspian region and Iran in particular by overland pipeline into mainland China. And it may achieve that to some degree, but it's still a long way off in realistic terms. So the reality is, yes, the United States is out. What we've been witnessing in the last couple of weeks is this attempt by Washington to put a brave face on this and to say that, well, we're still heavily invested in Central Asia and we will support Central Asia through AID programs, the U.S. Assistance programs. In fact, at the 30th anniversary celebrations in Washington, D.C. last Thursday, we saw the Samantha Power, the head of AID, which is part of state, addressing the Uzbeks and saying, well, our ties have never been stronger. We're opening an AID office in Tashkent and we'll be pouring more and more U.S. aid and support to Uzbekistan. Yeah, all well and good, but if you can't back that up with prestige and a military capability and a geopolitical or geographic link, should I say, up into the region, then it's still marginal. It puts the U.S. on the same level as the European Union trying to influence Central Asia. And while this is important, it's not in the same category, if you like, of power politics, which Russia and India, and to a lesser degree, Beijing are now starting to exert.
We have 2 minutes, Gregory. The mention of Al-Qaeda in Washington, it's almost ceremonial to show up with Al-Qaeda's name as if everybody's got to react sharply. Is Al-Qaeda, when you describe it strategically, Al-Qaeda seems a very small player. Is it to Beijing, to Moscow, to Delhi, to Tehran, a tool and not a threat?
Oh, absolutely. It's a small tool for them and one of decreasing importance, actually. And look, Al-Qaeda would have been a minor player to this day had not President George W. Bush, Bush 43, elevated it to the level of a superpower by responding to the World Trade Center attacks as though it were attacked by a major power. Yes, it was an affront to the United States, but you don't elevate your adversary to a strategic status of a superpower if you don't have to.
Does Beijing, we have 20 seconds, does Beijing understand that Al-Qaeda is not a threat to Beijing?
Absolutely. The Islamist threat to Beijing is there, but it is not critical to the survival of the Communist Party or Xi Jinping.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, commenting on the great game in Eurasia. I read from the Chinese version of the conversation between President Biden and General Secretary Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping pointed out that for some time, due to the U.S. policy on China, the China-U.S. relationship has run into serious difficulty. This serves neither the fundamental interests of the people of the two countries nor the common interests of countries around the world. China and the United States are respectively the biggest developing country and the biggest developed country. Whether they can handle their relationship well bears on the future of the world. It is a question of the century to which the two countries must provide a good answer. When China and the United States cooperate, the two countries and the world will benefit. When China and the United States are in confrontation, the two countries and the world will suffer. Getting the relationship right is not optional, but something we must do and must do well. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.